Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Let's talk about what we just heard from the president-elect in his news conference. And I'll just review, for those of you who've tuned in during the 20 minutes or so of this news conference, what he said on the scandal. He said at the beginning that no one on his team would have engaged in any kind of illegal dealing to get the replacement senator of Obama's choice to replace him in the Senate from Illinois, and that he's confident that nobody did. On health care, he said, if people are asking how we can afford to invest in our health care system in this economy, he asks how we cannot afford to do it. He said, if we want to overcome our economic challenges, we must finally overcome our health care challenges. Tom Daschle, the former Senate Majority Leader and Senator from South Dakota, who will be the Secretary of Health and Human Services and Director of a new White House Office of Health Reform, if he's confirmed, linked lack of health insurance to foreclosures, which are, of course, more front and center right now in at least the news about the economy. He also linked lack of health insurance to bankruptcies as the major cause of bankruptcies in America, personal bankruptcies, and said we spend more on health care than any country in the world, but we do not have the best health. And then in the news conference, asked repeatedly about the scandal, he said he had no contact personally with the governor's office on anything having to do with a Senate replacement, that he would soon release information on any contacts that any members of his staff had with the governor's office, and he said that he is certain that his office had no involvement in any deal-making for a senator of his choice. So let's talk about both of these things, health care and the Illinois scandal, and the news conference and what we learned with Trudy Lieberman, contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review, where she has been blogging all year on the media's coverage of the healthcare debate. She is the director of health and medicine, the reporting program at the graduate school at the City University of New York. And Jonathan Weisman is with us, political reporter for the Wall Street Journal. Jonathan, welcome back. Trudy, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Jonathan, what didn't he answer about the scandal? He sounded pretty certain that nobody in, you know, on his team had done anything wrong.
Yes. Well, a couple of things he didn't answer particularly closely. One, I thought that was a very good question. If Blagojevich was so certain that the Obama team was not going to play in his pay-to-play system, how did he know that? What kind of contacts were there just to at least let Blagojevich know that they were the unpalatable words that he used for the Obama team? There was another in the affidavit. There's a lengthy section in which they talk about trying to reach an Obama transition advisor and to waive the idea of influencing Congressional District 5 before them. Congressional District 5 is Rahm Emanuel's congressional district, which will be vacated when Rahm becomes the chief of staff. He didn't talk about exactly who that advisor was and whether that contact ever was brought to fruition. And he didn't really he didn't give us names. Why was Valerie Jarrett, who is widely considered Senate candidate one in the affidavit, why did she pull out of contention? Did she pull her name out of contention because she knew that a lot of shenanigans were going on around this?
Trudy Lieberman, what did we learn about President-elect Obama's approach to health care reform? Was there anything new here?
Well, I think we learned a couple of things. The most significant thing I heard him say is, I haven't made a determination of the rollback of the tax cuts for wealthiest Americans. And you may recall during the campaign, he had said that that was one way that he was going to finance any kind of increase in coverage for the uninsured. The other thing I heard him say is that we're going to have very aggressive initiatives around two programs or two ideas. One of those is health information technology, and the other is prevention. Now, these are two ideas that have been talked about a lot during the campaign because they don't cause any pain to any of the special interests who might have to give up something if there's real cost control in our healthcare system, which there is not right now. While health IT, medical records, and so forth might be a good thing in terms of maybe helping to improve quality, and certainly no one can argue with prevention, Most experts believe that there's really not a lot of savings that can be generated there that would be of the magnitude necessary to finance care for everybody.
So he would have to come back to figuring out where to get a lot of new money to throw at it, and that was the specific question that he was asked. How would he fund it? Does he still plan to do what he said during the campaign, which would be to use the savings from eliminating the Bush tax cuts on the wealthy for funding health care for all or for almost all? And he said that's under consideration. So did you hear him as walking away from a specific campaign promise in that respect?
I think he was waffling. I certainly do. The other thing I heard him say, I thought that was the most significant thing, but the other thing he said, and he said this during the campaign, is that he would do away with the extra payments that private health insurers are getting now from the government for these so-called Medicare Advantage plans that don't really improve health for Medicare beneficiaries. I think that probably will change. I think the health insurance industry probably knows that that's going to change and that at some point they're going to lose those overpayments. I think we learned that. Outside of that, I did not hear him say anything about pay or play. I know Jonathan mentioned that term in relationship to the other issues, but pay or play is also very important in healthcare.
So, listeners, we've got two good journalists here, one covering the yesterday and the day before, I said it 150 times without stumbling over it. Today I can't say it once. Blagojevich scandal, Jonathan Weissman from the Wall Street Journal, and covering the Obama health care plans, Trudy Lieberman from Columbia Journalism Review, and we can take your phone calls on either and reacting to the president's news conference as well. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or a question to our webpage, as always, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Jonathan, your paper, The Journal, is reporting today involvement on the part of the Service Employees International Union, the SEIU, in what may be a quid pro quo scheme to offer the powerful national director position of the Change to Win Labor Federation, that's the big labor federation that split off from the AFL-CIO, to Blagojevich in exchange for the appointment of a labor-friendly candidate to fill that Senate seat. How far did that go?
Well, we don't know. I mean, the one thing that is fishy about all of this is that, you know, somebody in SEIU appears to have at least not closed the door here. We believe it's Tom Balanoff, who they were approached by this with this idea. Now, remember, most of these ideas seem to have been spun out by Blagojevich or by his chief of staff, John Harris. It wasn't that they were getting ideas from SEIU. The question is whether SEIU actually said no way, or whether they said, okay, we might be able to take this under consideration. It seems somewhat fanciful here. I mean, the idea was that there was a bank shot that SEIU would give him the job, and SEIU in exchange would tell the Obama people, okay, we've done this for Blagojevich. Now Blagojevich expects you to name and Blagojevich will in turn name your favorite candidate, Valerie Jarrett, to the Senate seat. That link seems very tenuous, and remember, Valerie Jarrett pulled her name out of consideration just about the time when they were hatching this idea.
But does SEIU, does the union have any culpability here, as far as the Journal's reporting indicates?
Only in kind of a sin of omission. If indeed this proposal was floated to a top union official, and the top union official didn't report it, didn't tell somebody, hey, you know, I'm being
solicited
for graft here, then you might say that they did a sin of commission. But you know, as far as as far as any kind of legal culpability, nobody really seems to be alleging that.
Georgianne in Tarrytown. You're on WNYC. Hello, Georgianne.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to talk a little bit about health care.
Yep.
I think that we have to start talking about it. I'm discouraged that the president-elect is doing less of this. Have to start talking about health care as opposed to insurance. If we, we're still stuck in this health insurance paradigm that's failed us over the last five decades, and if we don't abandon that model, which is fragmented and costly and has really no incentives for cost control.
You mean you
want
just the individuals to just pay for health care directly?
No, I want the government and all players to help to develop a health care system with access and equity to people. Health insurance doesn't equal health care. We're seeing that in Massachusetts. It's expensive. It's profit-laden. It's administratively fragmented.
Right.
And if we don't start talking about health care, we're never going to be able to provide it to the 50 million people who don't have anything now or to the rest of us.
Georgianne, thank you very much. Trudy Lieberman, does she make a good point that all this talk is always about health insurance and bypasses the direct question of health care?
Yeah, she makes an excellent point. During the campaign, all of the talk, or most all of the talk, focused on health insurance and how we're going to provide it. And we've had endless discussions about mandate versus no mandate. Are we going to make people buy their own health insurance, people who are having trouble finding jobs, people who are losing jobs? We're going to add another burden on them. Some people would like to see that happen. So I think the caller is absolutely right. We need to take a more global approach to this. Who's going to pay for it? How are we going to provide it? And she makes another point that's been totally absent from the discussion. And that's the point about equity. Equity has not been discussed at all, and certainly that's a fundamental issue. Should some people be able to buy health insurance from private carriers that are these so-called bare-bones plans that don't cover everything and leave them virtually uninsured when they get sick? And other people are able to buy Cadillac plans and have no problem. And I think we need to start talking about that as well.
Well, how far toward equity do you think an Obama administration would be willing to go? Because another thing that struck my ear in the news conference is he emphasized that the solutions to the healthcare problem would not come from left or right, but from a common sense center. Was that code on some level for saying we are not going to go toward a single payer, government run, Canadian style healthcare system where we do even out all the inequities? Did you hear it that way?
Yes, and his and Tom Daschle's book also explicitly makes that point. In his book, he outlines the proposal for his solution, which does not include a single-payer plan, and he explicitly says in his book that the business community and other people would not go along with it. So in some sense, we are where we've always been in terms of health care reform.
David in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hello, David.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I thought the news conference was informative. I thought things were fine. However, but I did want to express something, I guess, concerning the focus on the scandal, which I think is a distraction, and in particular the Wall Street Journal reporter's insinuations concerning Obama, because the way he's talking, basically, it sounds like it sounds as if it was Obama in the scandal. He's not, you know.
What did you hear our guest as insinuating?
Oh, he answered this, and I heard it. I had to answer too, and it was in plain English. Oh, but he didn't answer that. He didn't answer a question that wasn't asked. Stuff like that.
That was the question asked to me, my friend.
I did. I asked him what did he not address in that news conference regarding the scandal.
I see. Okay. Well, perhaps I'm just. A little more critical of that, but yes, I feel that it's you know, essentially it's a distraction, and it simply feeds into the you know, the pack of wild conspiracy theorist groups that pursue Obama even to this day.
David, thank you very much. I want to get back to the SEIU. It gets even more complicated potentially for the Obama team, in that the SEIU spent $30 million to support the presidential campaign of Obama more than any other group, according to the Federal Election Commission records, as it says in the Journal today. And Obama has political ties to this Mr. Balanoff, who is the SEIU representative named in the alleged dealings with Governor Blagojevich. Again, none of that means that the president-elect or anybody on his staff did anything at all wrong. But so why does the Journal bring up that relationship? What are the questions surrounding that relationship between the Obama campaign and the union?
I think, look, what is clear from the press conference that just was completed and from any reading of this affidavit is that there are going to be questions that the Obama camp is going to have to answer on this, because the efforts that Rod Blagojevich allegedly made to sell former Senator Barack Obama's seat were all tied to his idea that he could somehow get favors from the president-elect. I don't think that it's unfair to ask these questions, because they arise from any reading of the affidavit. And the SEIU issue is important mostly because the SEIU seemed to be the only avenue that Governor Blagojevich pursued to any fruition. Everything else was just tossing out ideas that apparently went nowhere.
We'll continue in a minute with Jonathan Weisman from the Wall Street Journal and Trudy Lieberman from the Columbia Journalism Review and the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism as we break down the Obama news conference on the Blagojevich scandal and his health reform plan. Stay with us.
This Senate seat does not belong to any politician to trade. It belongs to the people of Illinois, and they deserve the best possible representation.
President-elect Obama from his news conference on the Blagojevich scandal and his health care reform plans moments ago. We're talking about it with Trudy Lieberman from the Columbia Journalism Review and the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. She's a health reporting expert. And Jonathan Weisman, political reporter for the Wall Street Journal. And you at 212-433-WNYC. And Scott in West Long Branch, you're on WNYC. Hello, Scott.
Hi. I just have two brief comments about health care. I think the first, and I agree with the first caller, that we need to start not even calling it health care, but calling it a health service that everybody's entitled to. I think words do matter in this debate. And secondly, I wonder if Obama already has, it seems like he already has a plan in mind, and he's talking about having these sort of town hall meetings and bringing in other, government officials into the process, just to sort of avoid the transparency issues that Hillary Clinton went through when she proposed the health care reform.
Scott, thank you very much. And Trudy, I did notice that about the president-elect's language. He really went out of his way to say that he'd make sure all stakeholders will be at the table, patients, doctors, employers, etc., to do health reform right. Democrats and Republicans, he said that. And there did seem almost to be an implication that they didn't get it right under the Clintons in 1993, and we're going to make sure everybody feels included this time. Did you get that sense?
Well, he's been saying that all through the campaign. The idea is everyone at the table surfaced about a year ago during the campaign, and he continues to talk about that theme, and they are having these town hall-like meetings or these web conversations with all kinds of people who can have input. So I think that it's fair to say that they do want to let people know what they're doing, but I must say that when the push comes to shove and there's a markup on the bill and the deals are made before there's a markup on the bill, it's a question how the ordinary person is going to be heard in those sessions, and that's where push comes to shove on any kind of reform.
And Jonathan Weisman, I know we've been talking to you about the scandal, but you're a political reporter. What do you think about the politics of health care reform? I know you got to go in a minute. Do you think that they can really ever get these major stakeholders to agree on a major health reform plan, or are their interests just too different?
I actually think that right now there really does seem to be a convergence of interests to get something done. the economy the way it is, there are going to be a lot of people in the private sector who want to shuck their health care responsibilities, and are going to be looking for anything that might save some money. Obama has a very, very lucrative tax credit that he wants to offer small businesses. And the demand for health insurance coverage is going to be shooting through the roof with this recession. So I actually think they've got a shot here.
Jonathan Weisman, political reporter for The Wall Street Journal. I know you got to run. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Trudy Lieberman remains with us. And speaking of healthcare, WNYC's Fred Mogul will be coming on this show next week to discuss one way that people are raising cash in these recessionary times, participating in paid drug trials and medical device trials. And we want to get some of your stories with respect to this to help with our reporting. If you or someone you know has participated in a medical trial for cash and would like to share the story with us, willing to be interviewed about your experience, please email your contact information to newstips@wnyc.org. That's newstips@wnyc.org if you have been paid money to take part in a drug trial or a medical device trial and you're willing to answer some questions about it. newstips@wnyc.org. Thanks a lot. Monty in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Monty.
Good afternoon, or good noon, I guess. Yes, I'm very interested in health care, and I think there are a number of issues. First of all, I think we should really analyze where these high costs come from, and clearly they come from the costs of pharmaceuticals, which are unwarranted. They could be reduced enormously, and the costs of insurance and so forth. I think there needs to be a cost control aspect. The American Public Health Association, for years and years, it has committees in every state of the union. American Public Health Association.
Monty, I'm sorry to do this, but I'm going to jump in because our time is going to run out, and you've raised a few really big and important questions already. Trudy, cost control. As Monty raises it, this is what Obama said throughout the campaign. He's going to do better than other candidates at getting the costs of health care under control. Now, you said earlier that you can't do it by just making the system more efficient. There aren't enough efficiencies to get all the money you need in order to cover everybody. Has he said anything really specific about big ways of getting costs under control? Would he go to a price control system like Monty suggests? Or how else would he actually get these huge costs down?
He's not talking about that at all, because those are the very interest groups that would lose. Hospitals account for about one-third of U.S. healthcare expenditures, and I haven't seen anything on the table that would deal with cutting costs at hospitals. In fact, hospitals are on a building spree all across the country, and that's going to raise prices even more. Nobody's talking about curtailing those kind of prices. And so I think we have to look at also what some of the special interests are saying, and I posted on this at CJR.org, that the drug companies are saying that they're working very hard to make sure that the Congress, members of Congress, are going to see things their way. So that implies to me that they are trying very hard to make sure that there are going to be no cost controls on pharmaceuticals. And the caller suggests that there are excess costs in pharmaceuticals, and maybe there are. But I don't see that that's going to happen.
Let's get one more caller in. Courtney in Greenwood Lake. Hi, Courtney. We have about 20 seconds for you.
Okay. I was wondering why can we put the burden of funding health care costs that are going to be instituted on the banks and big businesses who have been bailout beneficiaries in the current and ongoing bailouts?
Of course, by definition, if we're bailing them out, then maybe they don't have the money to fund health insurance. But can we make a connection there, Trudy Lieberman?
Well, that was omitted in Obama's press conference today, and that was the reference to the pay or play. Are they going to make large employers contribute to a system, or are they going to mandate that they provide coverage? That has not been discussed.
Courtney, thank you. And Trudy Lieberman, thank you. Trudy Lieberman is contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review, where she has been blogging all year on the media's coverage of health care. She's also the director of the Health and Medicine Reporting Program at the Graduate School at CUNY. That's the Graduate School of Journalism. And that concludes our coverage of Barack Obama's news conference on the Blagojevich scandal and his health care reform plans. Trudy, thanks again. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, I will be taking the day off, and for once in the last month, not because I'm sick, because I'm going to attend a recital at my son's school. So Jamie Floyd will be filling in tomorrow. Be nice to her. And then have a great weekend. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.